Hallelujah.
Glory to God. The two sections tomorrow will be special sections.
Just talk to tell us.
Will be very special sections. Hallelujah. Special tonight.
Amen.
Make sure you don't miss tomorrow's sections.
This night we're having a healing service. Make sure you come prepared. This evening by 5. We're having a healing
section. Glory to God.
Allow no sickness to leave your bodies and that of your loved ones by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So tomorrow, I always say this about laying on of hands. Everything I've taught in this convention, you will receive them in the full measure in by the laying on of hands. Right? Right?
Hallelujah.
So let's get prepared. Okay, Acts 2 verse 14. 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, Ye men of Judah and all that dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and hearken to my words. These are not drunk as they suppose, seeing that his brother thought are of day. For this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. This is that. That is the theme of our conversion. This is that. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit, watch that word, upon all flesh. It is, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Then, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Hallelujah. So we said they just had an encounter, right? And Peter is explaining their encounter from scriptures. Hallelujah. From scriptures. The prophet. So Peter didn't say, as we're just sitting there. If you watch Peter's explanation, Peter didn't mention, did you see anything like wind or fire? Did you see wind or fire? That would be Luke's narrative of what happened there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Peter's explanation will be from scriptures. Something very vital we're going to see. So we said, the goal of Bible interpretation, was that what we were this morning? Is to find out what was in the mind of the writer when they wrote. What was in the mind of the writer when they wrote the scriptures? And every Bible student, every believer is an interpreter, or should be an interpreter of Bible correctly. Hallelujah. A Bible student must be able to interpret the Bible rightly. Look at what Paul said to Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter, touch quickly with me. I mean 2 Timothy 2 verse 15. He says, study to show thyself approved. He says, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, is rightly dividing the words of truth. Hallelujah. So he used the word, he says, study to show thyself as one approved by God. That word study there is the word in the Greek spodizo, which means to be earnest, to put in effort. So Paul is telling Timothy, put effort, right? To show thyself as one approved of God. It then calls him a worker, a workman. Now that word workman is the word egatis, a toiler. So that means Bible study involves labor, a toiler, egatis. It's a worker that need not to be ashamed. He now uses another word, rightly dividing the words of truth. That is the word in the Greek, ototomio legon aletia. Now, what does it mean? It means, when you use the word ototomio, is this or how a surgeon carries out surgery? You know, the carefulness, right? There are procedures you must observe. You don't jump. Hallelujah. Amen? What is the difference between a surgeon and a butcher? You know, it's the same thing. It's flesh, flesh. One uses a knife and do bam, bam. And then cut it into pieces and give you, count it for you. Amen. So the sisters are buying meat. And the boy like Pastor Dixon are buying meat. Amen. Glory to God. It pieces it. You see, but the same, this is the same flesh in the hands of a surgeon. He doesn't do it like a butcher. Hope you know that. The surgeon takes his time. Right? He cuts, divides it rightly. Amen. You don't want to do you want to carry out an appendix operation here and you're tearing here. Ah! Then you will lose your license. Amen. Say, no, I don't want to tear the place. I will not bust. I want to tear here and took my hand and remove it. Ah! You will choke yourself out of this one. Amen. You have to be careful, right? Amen. Sometimes you have to go through scan several times before they tear to you. Right? Now he calls that ototomy. Legon aletia. Now it says, that is to say, Bible study involves carefulness. Okay, you know what I mean? Bible study involves carefulness. So a Bible student is an interpreter of scriptures. The word of God, carefulness. So I must be able to interpret Bible rightly. And in order for me to be able to interpret Bible correctly, what must I do? Well, I have to find out, first of all, I must settle it in my mind that the writers of scriptures were not writing to me directly. Right? Who was their audience? They had an immediate audience, right? So you are not their immediate audience, but you are the spirit audience. Amen? Amen? Paul never saw that you are going to read his book or his book. Amen. But the Holy Ghost knew that there would be a time when smart will come in the scene. Hallelujah. So I'm not Paul's audience, but I'm the Spirit's audience. Amen. Okay, so maybe. So I can put it this way. You are not the immediate audience, but the, I don't know if you want original audience, but they were also original. Amen. And I don't know if you want implied, because you are not an implied audience, but you are the audience in the heart of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Hope you are following me. Glory to God. So, say I'm the spirit audience. Is that better? Sounds nice. Say I'm the spirit audience. I'm not saying you are a spirit audience. I think you are the spirit audience. Amen. 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 So, I must find out who was the audience of the writer. And then I will take their seat, right? You take the seat of the first audience. The audience have to sit in their seat and hear what they heard. And in doing so, in hearing what they heard, I must find out what was the language of their day. What was the language of the day? In the Old Testament book, their language was Hebrew. In the New Testament section of your Bible, they spoke Greek. Hallelujah. Or it was written in Greek. So therefore, I have to find out what was the language of that day. And the language of that day will carry their culture, their science. Hope you are hearing me. To carry their culture and science. Today, something we're going to see. Also, something you also find is not just their science, to carry their technology. Amen. Moses will use the word seed. Seed. How do you seed? You know, if it is in our days today, we will not use seed. Amen? Amen? Moses used a lot of illustrations, figures of speech. Now, he used exactly because of this. He used a lot of illustrations, a lot of, figure of speech, a whole lot. He used a whole lot of figure of speech, idiom, a lot of figures of speech. But you know what? Something you have to see and to understand is the fact that his audience understood all what he was saying. Because it was in their world. Amen? In our world, we will not use if I want to use illustration, I will not use C. You know what I will use? I will rather use data. You will use Snapchat. Amen. And I use data. In our world today. Moses was in our world. You know, Moses should have been a Chelsea fan. He wouldn't have been in Miami now.
Amen. Amen. When they talk, my nose still be talking. Never work from them, never work from them. Have you not forgotten that everybody one time said they are leaving Moses and going back to Egypt? Scriptures. Yeah, you just have to be in church. Because that guy was always going into the mountain. Yeah, he was always going to the mountain. The sky is blue, he was always going up. Hallelujah. Like Paul. Paul was a Chelsea fan. I went into the third heavens. Stay there. Amen. Let's come back. Hallelujah. So, Moses will employ all those kind of things. So, as a Bible student, you have to sit in their seat and hear what they hear. Amen. Amen. I did not, don't worry, say, pastor says, Moses is a Chelsea fan. That is heresy. So Moses said, you say what? He said, you know, Moses doesn't know what a fan is. Are you looking at me? How many fans? Everyone has no fans. Where we are looking at? I have to go back to their world. Amen. Just few years back. Few years. Okay. How many of you know what a fax is? Fax machine. Ah! This lover generation knows. You would never know what a fax machine is. it's internet. How many of you know what GPRS is? You know GPRS? GPRS. So you say, what is GPRS? No, because you're using 4G. There was a time we were looking for GPRS. Use Edge. Once your phone shows Edge and box, we'll be the happiest people. I remember that I'll shout my brother's name. Oh, he's on box. Just because we wanted to browse. But today it's 4G, LTE. Say, I'm internet fast, super speed. When you open Google, it will take you 5 minutes. The G for show. I'm waiting for the other O to show. Amen. Just be able. Hallelujah. Now imagine you're in that world. Imagine you're reading a book in 1997 and they wrote, and the fax machine. Today we're doing fax what? Fax machine. Fax. Fax machine was the fastest way of sending information in that period. In that era. But today, just go on WhatsApp. So what? You know, if you see Moses and say, sir, WhatsApp, you say, what is that? Right? Hey, it's your age. Glory to God. Glory to God. Say, even so. Let's continue. Amen. I have a short time now to do what I have to do. So, now, I told you that in the days of Moses, they spoke Hebrew. And in the days of Jesus, they spoke Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic. Jesus spoke Aramaic. That was the vernacular of their day, though. And also, they spoke Latin. Latin was just emerging around that period. Hallelujah. I would say Jesus had the Septuagint. He used the Septuagint, which is the good translation of the Hebrew Bible. Just like we have KJV, NIV, TLV, and the like. Hallelujah today. Which are English translation of both the Hebrew and the Greek Bible. Hallelujah. But take note, they were all interpretations. So that is why Jesus will have to go back sometimes to reread the Old Testament book. To reread the Hebrew. Hallelujah. To reread the Hebrew. So as a Bible student, just like Jesus, there are many times you have to go back and reread the scriptures. Because a major barrier that you have to cross in Bible study is language. You cannot take out language translation from Bible interpretation. You can't. Because first of all, Bible wasn't written in English. That becomes the first thing. It wasn't written in English. Though you have the translations in English, but they weren't written originally in English.
If you see Moses today and you say, Moses, good afternoon, sir, I say, what is that? Because he doesn't know English. And that becomes, I was telling someone here some days back, I heard this from Pastor Shevin, and he said, and I told the person, see, you say someone is unintelligent because of he doesn't know English. I said, you are the one who is unintelligent. And because somebody is just speaking only Yoruba, 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 that is not intelligent. It's not true. Intelligence is not whether you can speak English or not. Amen. Someone can be only know Yoruba all his life, does not know single English, and yet is very intelligent. So don't stop allowing your English teacher to confuse you. It's just the truth. Okay, yeah, everybody. Intelligence has got nothing to do with what language or whatever you speak. Okay, yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. So we have to cross the language barrier. Just like Ezra in Nehemiah 8:8. They were speaking Hebrew. Ezra is in the Old Testament. And Moses was written in Hebrew. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy were written in Hebrew. Ezra spoke Hebrew. But you know what? He still had to give a sense to Moses' teaching. Why? Because within that period, between Moses to Ezra, and I gave us that calculation, it's over 1,000 years. So, language has evolved. Just if within 1998-95 to today, language has evolved so much, right? So much that there's something that could and something that I saw in 95, 96, 97, 98, 99 that I can't see today. I can't see them today. If I say some of those things to some of you that are in the generation will be looking at me. Did that ever happen? He did well. Amen. Glory to God. It did happen. Hallelujah. Amen. How many of you have used that phone that if one die today you can just pick your phone and write 080? It's a phone that where it 01. You turn it. How many of you know that? I was sharing with some people some days back, I guess it was in church. How many of you know how to tap a call? What does it mean to tap a call? Yes. Amen. You could tap calls anywhere on landline. How many of you know landline? And some of you that know landline only knew landline because you were working in an office. Glory to God. Let's continue. Amen. So, you know, just within 95 and now, language has evolved. It's not up to 1,000 years, though. It's not. And imagine 5,000 years. Nehemiah needs to re-explain. Glory to God. He has to. So, what will he do? He will have to take his audience and put them in the audience of Moses, that they will hear what Moses' audience heard. This afternoon, I'm going to take us back to Moses' audience. We're going to sit in Moses' audience seat. And we hear what they heard. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And we say Jesus did the same thing to his own disciples in Luke 24:27. He said, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded diamenio. Diamenio means he interpreted the language. Hallelujah. He expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul will do the same thing. Look at what Paul did. Do you know something? Do you know that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they all read from Moses? How many of you know that? They were not reading another book, they were reading Moses. They were all reading Genesis down to Revelation? To Malachi. The Pharisees. Hope you know that. Uh-huh. That was the same place Jesus read from. But yes. They fought Jesus. Why? Look at John 5:39. Jesus speaking to them. Jesus said to them, he said, you search the scriptures. He said, in them you think you have eternal life. He said, these are they that testify of me, but you will not come to me that you have life. Amen? So that means their interpretation of the scriptures was wrong, the Pharisees. They were interpreting scriptures in their day. We're going to see most of those things today. They were interpreting scriptures in their day. But remember I told you, you don't interpret scriptures in your day. You interpret scriptures where? In their world. And then you apply it in your world. So you have to understand it first in their world. Amen. Amen. You have to understand it first where? In their world. Glory to God. Look at what Paul did in Acts of Apostles chapter 13. Acts 13 verse 27. Oh, sorry. Okay, that was in verse 27. Acts 13, 27. He said, for they that dwell in Jerusalem and the rulers, because they knew him not. We're talking about Jesus. He said, because they knew him not, nor the voices of the prophets, which they read every Sabbath. Did you see that? They read this. Now, when he uses the word the voice of the prophets, is it the scriptures? Is it scriptures? Because scriptures is called prophets. Now he said, they knew him not, nor the voices of the prophet, which they read every Sabbath. They fulfilled them in condemning him. Now when you use the word voices there, is the word for dialects. They didn't understand the dialect of the writers of scriptures. Amen. So that means language is vital in interpretation. Very vital. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, I have this. A very grave mistake is to read Bible word in your day-to-day. It's a very big mistake you will make. For example, today, when people talk about deliverance, they talk about deliverance, some people say, you're a child of God, you need to be delivered. How? It's deliverance. Someone, I engaged someone one time and said he's into deliverance ministry. I said, where did you find that in scriptures? Where do you find such ministries in scriptures? It's not in the Bible. I make both to say it's not in the Bible. A ministry called deliverance ministry. So no, you need to be delivered from what? Demon. From what? A child of God. Remember, we saw earlier on that a child of God, the moment a man is born again, he is in his day, right? Whose day? God's day. He's in God's hour. He's in God's day. Hallelujah. He's born into God's day. So where is he being delivered from? So, you know, don't tell you, we're having deliverance section. Every marine spirit in a believer. And you see the believer still begin to do like this. Who has bewitched you? Hallelujah. Who has bewitched you? A believer has a marine demon. How? I've only got the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I only have the Holy Ghost. The only point the Bible talks about deliverance is we being delivered from darkness to light. And that is in the new verse. Hallelujah. Hope you're hearing it. I will have the illustration in Exodus chapter 6 verse 6. That I will deliver them with an outstretched hand. Which is what? How God led them out of Egypt. Right? And that will be an example for the new birth. In the new birth, when a man is born again, he is delivered out of darkness into light. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. He's delivered from darkness to light. He is delivered. So a believer has been delivered. A believer has been delivered. Say, a believer has been delivered. Glory to God. A believer has been delivered. So don't read words in your day today. But they're dealing with the foundations of the fathers. Hallelujah. No. Glory to God. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. And behold, all things are new. I'm in him redeemed. I'm in him delivered. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's the bottom thing. Hallelujah. So the big mistake people make is to read Bible words in their day-to-day. Hallelujah. You have to see how words are used in their day. Another example would be the use of animals. The use of animals. Many times, what people read is that they miss that out. They think animals are used literally. No. Yes, they are used literally in scriptures, but many a times they are not used literally. They are used as expressions of man's behavior. Amen? Someone say, why won't I eat any animal? Any animal, snake, anything, I'll eat, I'll kill and eat. I say, why? He said, because God said, you have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every creeping thing that creeps. And that is your dominion. To be eating catfish. I like your dominion. Your dominion, dominion. Amen. No. Animals are not his nature. In fact, Jacob called his children by, he spoke to his children, right? And he used animals to qualify them. In Genesis 49. Genesis 49. Hallelujah. Verse 8, it says, Judah, thou art he whom thy brothers shall praise. It says, thy hand shall be in the neck of thy enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Say, Judah is a lion's whelp. Did you see that? He called Judah a lion. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. Glory to God. Look at verse 17. Okay, verse 16. It says, Dan shall judge his people as one tribe of Israel. There shall be a serpent by the way. Did you see that? He called Dan a serpent. Does it mean that Dan will begin to now turn to snake and walk him? No. But he called him a serpent. So animals are used to describe men. You need to see that clearly. Animals are used to describe men. Hope you're following me. They used to describe men. So when you now get to Genesis 2, when Moses now said the serpent, you know, some people when they get to Genesis and they see the serpent and Eve, what comes to their mind is a snake that comes down a tree. Most of the time, people say it's mango tree. Snake will just come and now talk to Eve. You know, Shelley. I hear say God said, no, I'm not chopping any fruit inside garden. If I say, yes, that is what my husband told me. It is. I have taken it in history. There was never a time in history a serpent spoke. So that means I will have to sit down again and investigate what was Moses writing about. Since I've seen that animals are used to describe men, right? Right? So therefore, I have to reread that conversation in the garden again. Amen. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. We have some teachings concerning that, right? Okay, get that message, ministry of angels. We have some of those things now. Hallelujah. Now we don't spend 10 hours here today. Glory to God. Okay, let's go further. So, in our teaching this morning, we began looking at the use of the word last day. Last days, right? And we said last days is not in the context of Acts 2. Last days doesn't refer to rapture. No. But rather, is used for the reign of the Messiah, right? Right? The indwelling of the Spirit, not rapture. So, since we said Peter was reading from Joel, right? And Joel was rightly reading from who? Who was Joel reading from? Do you believe Joel was reading from Moses? We saw it, right? I carry it. You'll find it also where? In Genesis 49. Okay, he was reading from Moses. Therefore, it then implies I have to look at, we have to go back and see that context of last days from Moses. We'll have to see the context of last days from Moses. Are you with me? So let's rush down to Moses. Now, earlier on in the morning, we looked at Genesis 49:1, and we saw that last days means fulfillment, right? Fulfillment. Now let's get down, when you read it as fulfillment, Moses writes Genesis 49. Verse 1, and said, and Jacob said unto his sons, and said, gather yourselves together, and I may tell you that which may befall you in the last days. I will say it means fulfillment, right? So that means, if I want to understand that concept of last days, I have to go down to Moses' concept of days in Genesis 1 and 2. Let's get quickly to Genesis 1 and 2. Now, quickly, let's go to Genesis 2 first, and we'll get back to 1. Genesis 2, verses 1. It says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and the host of them, and on the seventh day. Meaning, most of the writing fell the second day down to seventh day. And some people think it's Monday to Sunday. Some say, no, it's Sunday to Saturday. Amen. Hope you are with me. Hope you are with me. Let's look at it closely. Now it says, on the seventh day God ended his works. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He ended his works. And he rested on the seventh day from all the works which he had made. So when you use the word rested, there's the word Sabbath. Sabbath. On the Sabbath day. And he said, you will do no work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, let's just go. Okay, he uses the word Sabbath day. You will do no work. And what does he say? Look at verse 3. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. You see that? He sanctified it because that he needs to rest from all his work which God created and made. Hallelujah. So Moses writes seventh day. And he said God rested on the seventh day. And he calls it the Sabbath day. And what does he say you will do? What does he say you will do? We'll read. Let's read Exodus 20. But he used this here to signify Exodus 28. He used this here to signify God's rest. Right? God's rest. And he said you should sanctify it. God sanctify, that is his honor. You honor God on that day. Hallelujah. So let's see Exodus 20. So Moses now gave them something in Exodus 20. Follow me, you are in Moses' audience. So we're going to read it together. Amen. Look at Exodus 20, verse 8. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Did you see that? 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy works. But on the seventh day, which is the Shabbat, or Sabbath, of the Lord thy God, in it thou shalt not do any work. Mark that. You do no work. Thou, nor thy sons, nor thy daughters, nor thy manservant, or thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger within thy gate. For 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth. So he referred them back again to Genesis. Did you see that? 6 days he made the heavens and the earth, and in all and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Did you see that? And did what? Hallowed it. So he says, 6 days you will labor and do your work, and the seventh day is rest. And he calls it the Lord's Sabbath. Did you see that? He calls it what? The Lord's Sabbath. I need you to take a hold of that. Look at it very well. He calls it the Lord's Sabbath. Now, why would he call it the Lord's Sabbath? Now, in Moses' audience, now, everyone look up here. Now, when Moses said Sabbath, all his people understood what he meant. Because Sabbath was a culture, or food, was a culture in Egypt. Amen. Remember, they were just coming out from Egypt. So the Egyptians had a day where they celebrate their gods. They worship their gods. They have a day. So Moses now says, see, we too are going to fix a day. But this time it will not be the Sabbath of the Egyptians. It will be the Lord's Sabbath. Do you see that? So he now tells them, 6 works. And in 6 days you do all your works. But on the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. Moses is giving that to give them an illustration of something. Now, let's have it this way. In Genesis, who is Moses' audience? Who is Moses' audience? The children of Israel, right? From the Exodus, right? Now, in the book of Exodus, who is Moses' audience? The same children of Israel. Hallelujah. So, Genesis will be his teaching material. He's teaching them God's word. So, have that somewhere. So now, he's not giving them a practice. He has taught them in Genesis that God rested on the seventh day and hallowed it. Did you see that? Hope you are following me. Now he's not giving them 7 days like they had in Egypt, and now said the on the last day will be the Lord's Sabbath. It's an illustration. So the sixth and the seventh day in Exodus is an illustration of what Moses has taught them in Genesis. Hope you are following me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He calls it the Lord's Day. Now, what does it make them see? It makes them see that on the Lord's Day, it will not be their efforts. Amen. But rather, they will rest in God's work. What is God's work? We're coming there. Hallelujah. They will rest in God's work. So that means, 6 days they will work. Right? Right? But on the seventh day, we'll do no work. And this will say the Lord's Day is not by man's efforts. The Lord's Day is man believing in what God has done. Hope you're following me. So what do we call the Lord's Day in the morning section? What is the Lord's Day? Salvation. Right? Right? Is it salvation? We saw it from every other person minus Moses, but now we're going to look at it from Moses. That Moses taught us. Amen. So, what is the Lord's Day? Salvation. So it now says, in salvation, what would you have? Man will do no work. Amen. Amen. On the Lord's Day, man isn't going to be do work. Man is only going to believe and trust in God's work of salvation. So Moses shows them, all this time you've been working legalism, trying to do things. But this time, you're going to rest in God's work. Hallelujah. You're going to rest and trust in God's work. You're going to believe. So you that will point you back to Jesus. When Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my words. And my Father will love you. And we'll come and make our abode in him. Did you see that? Did you see that? So that means, remember the abode is the monet. The monet is the mansion. And the mansion is the akarit, the Lord's Day. Hope you're following that. That is the rest. We're getting to see others. Hallelujah. That will be the same rest. Glory to God. Hope you follow me here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, what Moses was writing to them is for them to believe in what God has done. So, we're getting back to Genesis 2 to see what God has done. Amen. But you will trust in what God has done. So Moses wasn't writing a specific day like Saturday or Sunday. Some of the Sunday is Sabbath. Monday is Sabbath. So the Saturday is Sabbath. No. Amen. Sabbath is not a specific day between Monday and Sunday. Sabbath is the day of the Lord. Sabbath is the believer's reality. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Amen. The Lord's Day is the believer's everyday reality. Hope you're following that. Hallelujah. So Moses says, it's not by your efforts. It's not by your efforts. Rather, you believe in what God has done. So Moses wasn't writing a specific day in the week, but rather, he was using the days of the week to write about the day of salvation. The Messiah's reign. The Lord's Day. Jesus' hour. Salvation. Remember, Jesus said something in John chapter 5 verse 46. He says, if you, John 5 46, rush quickly there. John 5 verse 46. Look what he said there. He says, for had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. You see that? Moses did what? Wrote of me. So can we say Moses was writing of Jesus' day here in Sabbath? So he used the Sabbath to illustrate Jesus' day. He wrote of me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In chapter 8, verses 52. What does that do for chapter 8, verse 52? verse 56 rather. It says, for Abraham rejoiced to see my day. You see that? And he saw it and was glad. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what will be his day? Salvation. Hallelujah. Is that the Sabbath day? Is that the seventh day? Emphatically, yes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let's see how Jesus makes that teaching Sabbath day. Let's see Jesus' commentary on Sabbath day. Just something to rush through. We saw this earlier on. During our last conversion, we're going to look at it again. Something like this. Something around it. Chapter 12, Matthew 12, verses 2. Now they came to meet Jesus. It says, but when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do what was not lawful to be done upon the Sabbath day. Did you see that? Because they had a day in mind. Did you see that? They were interpreting Moses wrongly. They were interpreting Moses wrongly. They had a day in mind. Glory to God. Hope you're following me. Verse 3. But Moses said to them, have you not read what David did? Have you not read what David did? When he was hungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God, and eat the shewbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them that were with him, but only for the priests. I hope you are following that. Or have you not yet heard in the law, how that on the Sabbath day, the priests profane the Sabbath and are blameless. Did you see that? He showed them that, see, the Sabbath day that you are saying they did what was not lawful. And I told them, have you not read in the Bible? That is the word, have you not read? Is the word anaginosko. Anaginosko, it means to carefully read. To read and not skip details. So Moses tells them, did you skip this one in your reading? He's telling the Pharisees, the Pharisees are not just they are astute students of the law. They are astute students of the Torah. They know Moses by heart. A Pharisee will quote Moses by heart. For you to become a Pharisee, you must quote Moses by heart. You will know Genesis to Deuteronomy by heart. You will not miss words. You will know it. So, who you like? Have you forgotten that the priest did what was not lawful on the Sabbath day and they are blameless? What has Jesus done? Jesus has pointed out something to them that there is a fact you missed in your reading. That Moses was not writing Sabbath day as a specific day. Well, if it was a specific day, those guys would have been killed. But he said they were blameless. To show you that it was not a specific day. The day was an illustration. Hallelujah. Of what they should have every day. Hope you are following that. So Jesus pointed it down to them that the Sabbath is what? A specific day in the week. But rather, he wanted them to see that the Sabbath day is the believer's everyday reality. Look at that, say Matthew 12. Look at verses 9 again. And behold, there was a man, verse 10, which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Because they thought you would do no work, right? And Jesus, that they might accuse him, and Jesus said to them, what shall they be any of you that shall have one sheep and will fall into the pit on Sabbath day? Will you not lay hold on it and lift it out? Look at Jesus. He says, if you have a sheep that fell into a pit on Sabbath day, into a hole. You know, when you have a sheep in their world, because they were agrarians, they were agrarians. Your possession, a rich man is known by the amount of servants and herds that he has, and sheep that he has. Hope you are hearing me. A rich man is known by the amount of sheep he has. So he said, if you have one of your sheep fall into a hole, will you say, I Sabbath day, let it die? I will do no work. And all of them were looking at him. Did you see that? Won't you lift up your sheep? Is that not work? Hope you are following me. What is Jesus still pointing to them? He's telling them, what you are observing is what? A shadow. The real thing is not a day. The real Sabbath is not a day. Amen. The real Sabbath is the Lord's day. And the Lord's day is not rapture. The Lord's day is salvation. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. And what did he go ahead to do? Look at that chapter 2. Verse 2 now. He now said, how much more this man, better than a sheep? Wherefore, is it lawful to do well on Sabbath days? And then he said to the man, search for thy hand, and he searched for it, and it was restored whole, like as the other. So the man got healed. Hallelujah. Man got healed on the Sabbath day. So Jesus is telling you, on the Sabbath day, man will be healed. That's what it shows. That's what that miracle showed. On the Sabbath day, man will be healed. So what is the healing? What is healing? Healing is restore it back as it's supposed to be. Amen. Amen. A man who is blind needs to be healed. Why? Because their eyes are supposed to be for sight. So when you can't see, you are not the way you ought to be. Right? How is a man supposed to be? Supposed to see with his eyes. So healing means restoring it back the way it ought to be. So that means in salvation, man will be restored back the way man ought to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And how is man supposed to be? Man is supposed to be in the image of God. We're going to see all that shortly. Hallelujah. That's how man is supposed to be. In the image of God. So let's get back to Genesis 2. From verse 1. Now he used the word, the heavens and the earth were complete. Genesis 2 verse 1. It says the heavens and the earth were finished. That word complete. And the host of them. And the seventh day the Lord ended his work. So it was finished. Now when you use the word was finished, you want to be completed. So when you use the word heaven and earth, immediately to go back and see Genesis 1. Look at Genesis 1:1. Are you there?
I'm Moses' audience now.
Okay, Moses' audience now. Now let's see. Heaven and earth. In the beginning, God created what? Open your Bible to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the... Now the original translation there is, the Lord, in the beginning God created heavens and the earth. Hallelujah. Now, Genesis 1:1, created the heavens and the earth. Moses, remember I showed you yesterday, what will be on high? I mean, we started yesterday, right? What is on high? Spiritual, right? In the spirit. And the on high is the heavens, right? So when Moses says heaven, what is heaven? Heaven means spiritual. That's what it's referring to here. Heaven will be used for the spirit. The spirit. The spirit. Hope you're following me. The spirit. Spirituals. The unseen world. So that is the spirit. Now the earth will be used for man, for nations. For man, for nations. We have teachings on this. What is believers' conversion? We'll just get some of those things, then we'll go back to the teachings. Hallelujah! We have teachings on this. Hallelujah! So, it will be the earth will be man, it will be what? The nations. So when God says, God created the heavens and the earth, it is not science, yo! And then some people are saying, between chapter 1 and chapter 2 is billions of years. At that point, man evolved from Australopithecus africanus to Homo erectus. Homo erectus did not transfigure and evolve to becoming Homo sapiens. My man. Moses wasn't writing science yet. If you want to know science, go and carry your geography material and see if you evolved. The worst mistake a believer can make is to try and use the Bible to explain science. Because the Bible is not a science material. The Bible is not your atlas. The Bible is not geography material. Go get essential geography. Go get geography made simple. Go get history made simple. Not the Bible. The Bible is theology. The Bible is the teachings of God. Hallelujah. Bible is the message of God, not science. Amen. There is billions of years. A lot of things happened. A man will not evolve. Only evolve. Well, so man was a Australopithecus, man was ape. Maybe it was you. Amen. Yeah. So Homo erectus, Homo sapiens. There's one I know I'm missing. I can't even find it. Amen. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. Don't use Bible to it. Moses wasn't writing science. We use the Bible for science. You will fail. You will fail. Your failure will not move on. In fact, when you repeat, your teacher will beg and you should be expelled. You don't know. Go and use Bible for science. Go. Shh. No. Let me not talk.
Take it off now. I want to say something.
Those who are not online, who are not here physically, can't hear it.
Nobody will listen. I see you. Very young.
I remember another one of my friends. The scientist said there was a rocket that was hitting the earth and going to give me that. Not going to the revelation. Years back, that was like 2009 or something.
Went to Bible. No, revelation. Oh, this is it. This is the prophecy. See, we began to see helicopter inside revelation. I'm saying, we brought out helicopter. We brought out armor tanks. Don't you know? We brought out armor tanks. Revelation. We said the locus. Look at it. Look at the mouth. It's that of an armor. And this is Second World War. Amen. Don't do things like that. I'm telling you, I'm warning you. Amen. Don't turn your listeners to pray. Glory to God. Amen. So don't use the Bible for science, right? Read your science textbook very well and write the exam and pass. Use Bible. With Bible, you know God. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So, rather, what Moses was doing, he was teaching them concerning God. Oh, what was he? So in Genesis 1:2, in Genesis 1:1, he says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. He now went, so the heavens and the earth is God and man, right? God and man. Is that union? Emphatically, yes. Yeah. I thought time is just 3 o'clock. Okay. Okay, let's do it. Amen. I trust the Lord. Amen. Amen. Okay, Genesis 1:2. 1:2, 1:2, 1:2. Genesis 1:2. Is it and the earth? So heavens and the earth is God and man in union, right? Is that the Lord's day? Is that salvation? Yes. Perfect. He now says, and the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the surface of the deep. So verse 2, Moses began to show you man or the earth without the heaven. Did you see the heaven in verse 2? Did you see the heaven in verse 2?
No.
There is no heaven there. So the earth without the heavens is empty and void. And darkness was upon the surface of the deep. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. So verse 2, Moses now shows you man without God. The earth without the heavens. Now we say the earth is man, right? The heavens is God. So the man without God is empty and void. And darkness was upon the surface of the deep. So verse 2 is man without God. It's darkness. Do you now see why Colossians? Paul will now say, he has called us out of darkness. Do you see that? out of darkness. Because it's out of darkness will be out of, you know, now man was without God. Right? So the darkness is the earth without the heavens. Then what did he now say in verse 3? And God said, let there be light. Now he used the word there, Hayah. That's the Hebrew word there, Hayah. Hayah. It means, I am light. Let there be light. It means, I am light. So what is God called? God calls himself as the answer to man's darkness. Hope you are following me. So there is darkness, which is in man, right? And God says, I am light. In verse 3, let there be light. I am light. So God is saying, he is the answer to man's darkness. Hope you are following me. So God offers himself as the answer. Would that be the heavens and the earth? So when he said, let there be light, it is heaven and the earth. So the heaven now is now being illustrated with light. Hope you are following that. Light in the darkness. Hope you are following me. Glory to God. Glory to God. The same thing too, you find in Genesis chapter 2, verses 18. A lot of people expected me to be here like last 3 weeks, but I refused to be there. It's Genesis 2:18. And the Lord said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a help meet for him. Hallelujah. We use the word, it is not good. Now the way Moses used good and not good is different from the way we use it, or we might see. When you use the word good, he uses good for what God does. In Genesis 1, he says, when God said, let there be light, there was light. God saw it was good. So what does God call good? Man in himself, or light in darkness, right? What does God call good? Heavens and the earth. Now he gets to Genesis 2:18, he says, it's not good for man to be alone. Is that earth without the heavens? Is that Genesis 1:2? Hallelujah, darkness. So it's not good for man to be alone. He's not talking about marriage of man and woman. Come on now. Stop talking like that. He said, no, it's not good for man. So somebody now says, it's not good for man. I still think that thing is a joke. A man was preaching and he said, it's not good for a man to be alone. So that means if you're a bachelor,
yes.
I still believe that is a joke. Because you don't say that on the pulpit. Hallelujah. See, today I still believe it's a joke. I've never taken it serious.
Yes,
amen. Glory to God. Because if you don't want to know the word, don't want to know the word, know what you'll be doing. Eh? Eh? You'll be buying Goya oil. Yes, now. You pray. You see, you must always pay for ignorance. You want to know the word, you pay for ignorance. There's a price. Before you know, you begin to buy calabash. What is the difference between you and Shango worshiper? Before you know, you begin to buy perfume. Perfume for what? I want to receive fragrance. It's perfume. Perfume, I say 1.5. That will make your staff to be sensitive. You are finished. You see, there are people that are chasing you. Who are they not chasing in this world? If you know anybody that they are not chasing, that means they are chasing everybody. It's not very simple. When they scare you, say there are people that are chasing you. That's why when you take your bath, your soap used to fall from your hand. There's nobody soap that does. Till this morning, my soap still fell from my hand. Soap that soap used to fall from your hand. That is misfortune. But you know what? You're going to fight them. Say how? Where they go and buy cutlass. You're not taking your bait on top of cutlass. You will pay for your ignorance. One way or the other, you will pay. If you don't like it, you will pay. This one is anointed, anointed comb your hair. That your destiny will be fresh. And you are still playing for an outdoor field. You've not seen a Nigerian team. That your fresh destiny was sweet. Anyway, that's why I wanted to lay hands on a young guy. Young guy. And I never know what he said. He said, sir, don't put your hand on my head. I said, why? He said, because of my star. I said, you star. Star. He said, yes, sir, my star. I said, your star. You will pay for your glory. You mean? Hallelujah. So I stay with the word.
I stay with the word.
Hallelujah. Some people are just so funny. Okay. If I know, they will give you rings. He said, this ring will protect you from your enemies. It's that. It is that. The difference is that somebody went to a bush to collect his own. He went somewhere and they put I'm being careful, you know I'm being careful. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's get back. Okay. So, in Genesis 2:18, we're not talking about woman. We're talking about it's not good for man to be alone. Man, Genesis 1:2. I will make an help meet for him. Before you think help meet is talking about woman, let's run through it. The word help there is the word Ezar. Ezar is only used for God. Woman never... Ezar. How can woman be Ezar? Be your help meet. When you know that woman can never be your help meet, then your car stop on Tornelan Bridge. So, you know what Tornelan Bridge is? Your car stop there, the woman will still be inside. You'll be the one pushing both the woman and the car. You know that the woman is not a help meet. Yeah. You don't know that. At least the woman push car. You see the river. When the rain is falling and the car has stopped, it's the man that will remove his jacket and cover the woman, still pushing the car. The woman is help meet. It's not only help meet. It's help fish. Hallelujah. It's only used for God. You find it in Exodus 18:14. I'm going to run through those texts. Now you read them. And all the time that word is used in Bible was never used for a woman. Used for God. Exodus 18:4. Deuteronomy 33:7. Deuteronomy 33:26. Deuteronomy 33:29. I'll take it again. Exodus 18:4. Deuteronomy 33:7. 33:26. 33:9. Psalm 33:20. Psalm 70:5. Psalm 115 verse 9 to 11. I'll take that one again. Psalm 33 verse 20. Psalm 70 verse 5. Psalm 115 verse 9 to 11. Psalm 146 verse 5. Psalm 146 verse 5. So it is for God. So God offers himself all the time as man's solution. That's union. In Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image. Let's make man in our image. Was not talking to this, you know, somebody who is not born again cannot sing that song. I am a beautiful image, I am a wonderful image, I resemble God. If you are not born again, you can't sing that song. How? You're not in God's image. Hallelujah. So are you trying to say, yes, Adam wasn't created in God's image? Really? Hallelujah. God said, let's make man in our image. That was a promissory note. Now when he uses the word Adam that I taught you the last time, you must find out how does he use the word Adam. Adam, though it's used for a person in Genesis chapter 3, but in Genesis 1, it is used for universal man. Adam is used for universal man. Hallelujah. What are you following me? So Genesis 1:26 is not talking about Adam that was in the garden. No, we're talking about man. All of us together. So he said, let's make man, not Adam, man. In our image. So that is God's plan. It's God's plan from the beginning for man to be in his image. What is his image? His image is Genesis 1:1, heaven. His image is Genesis 1:3, the light. He has shown you consistently to see that his image is going to be who? Man in himself. So when the children of Israel heard, let's make man in our image, nobody was writing to them. And here in our image, their mind goes again. To Egypt. But when they hear the word image, what comes to their mind is the temple. And in the temple is where man and God meets. So when they hear image, their mind goes to union. Hallelujah, union. So God is saying, let's unite ourselves with man. Okay, follow me. Is that the same thing with heaven and the earth? Yes. Is that the same thing with light and the darkness? Yes. Hallelujah. So he said, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the cattle, over the creeping that created upon the surface of the earth. Hallelujah. In verse 28, and God created man in his image, and in his likeness created him, male and female created he them. So before you begin to think he's talking about one man, say male and female. But in chapter 2, we only saw only Adam. One man. Right? So where is the female? That means Genesis 1 is talking about universal. Okay, follow me. Amen? Universal man. God wants men to be in his image. Hallelujah. Hope you are following me. So let's get back to chapter 2. I just wanted you to see heavens and earth there. So heaven and earth there is referring to union, right? So, quickly. So the word finished means it was done, right? The heavens and the earth. Now the seventh day is not a particular day as we've seen, but it refers to a fulfillment, a completion, right? Right? Now in that use the word he rested. That word rest is the word Sabbath. Sabbath. It means a cessation of work. Though there is another word for that word Sabbath, to rest. Another word, and that is the word Menoka. Menoka. It's used for a resting place. Menoka. A resting place. A place where one retires and continues his tasks from. One retires to and continues his tasks from there. A place where one retires to, like he enters in and continues his work. Look at Genesis 49, verses 15, talking about Issachar. He used that word Menoka, the 49 verse 16. It says here, I'll start from verse 4. It says, Issachar is a strong ass couching down between two bodies. He called his son an ass for you to see. And he saw the rest was good. That's the word Menoka. He saw the rest was good and the land that was pleasant, and bowed his shoulders to bear and became a servant. So did you see that in the rest he was a servant? What are you saying that? In the rest, what was he? A servant. So does that mean, does that show a cessation of work or a continuum of work? Continuation of work, right? It shows a continuation of work. You find it again in Numbers 33:10. Numbers 33:10. You know 33:10, not Nokia, but this is Numbers 33 verse 10. Oh, sorry, Numbers 10:33. I did this mistake earlier. Numbers 10:33, sorry. 33:10, 33. It says, and they departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days journey, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in 3 days journey to search out a resting place for them. There is that resting place. And was referring to what? Was referring to what? Canaan. What are you following me? In Canaan. So in Canaan, does it mean they will not do any work in Canaan? No. But they will retire there and continue their work there. Right? Right? So the word Menoka is not just used for a place where you retire and sleep. There is a place where you retire and continue working from there. You find it also in Deuteronomy 12:8-14. Write that down, Deuteronomy 12:8-14. Look at Psalms 95, verse 11. I need to read this out. Psalms 95, verse 11. It says, unto whom I swore in my wrath that they should not enter my rest. So the rest there is God's rest. You see that? It's God's rest. Psalms 132 verse 8. It says, arise, O Lord, into thy rest, thou art the ark of thy strength. Verses 13. Say, for the Lord has chosen Zion. Hallelujah. He had desired it for his habitation. You see that? That was his habitation there. His resting place. Verses 14. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. Where? Zion. Hallelujah. 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 So the believer is his resting place. Because the Bible says, in read Obadiah with me. If you read Obadiah, that for me. Obadiah, verses 17. It says, for upon Zion, upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and they shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possession. Now what it means there is not they shall be deliverance. No. Look at what how the original version reads it. So upon Mount Zion shall be a delivered people. Hallelujah. So Mount Zion there is a delivered people. Are you a delivered people? So what did God say in Psalms 1:32, it says Zion is his resting place. So when the writer of Hebrews now writes, you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, he was referring to the fact that where we are is where Christ is. God is dwelling in us. Hallelujah. So Mount Zion is where God dwells. Hallelujah. So what is Moses teaching? Moses is teaching, therefore, Moses is trying to say, since the resting place is where God stays and continues his work, right? Right? Since the rest there is where God retires into a cessation or a place where one retires into and continues his work, right? Right? So that means, it therefore means God's rest is God still carrying out his work, but this time from a different location. Where is the location? In the believer. Hallelujah. Amen? So God's rest is God still carrying out his task, and that task will be carried out through the believer. That is why when Moses writes about man in the image of God in Genesis 1:26, verse 28, you now find God giving that man in his image a responsibility. Look at verse 28. I've kept a lot of my notes to get here. Verse 28. It is, and God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful, right? And multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea. Is it different kinds of men? Right? The difference, is it fish like you go to, I'm looking for catfish, no? It's talking about different kinds of men. Men with different kinds of attitude, right? Over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the surface of the earth. Why? Because that is God carrying out his task to the believer. Hallelujah. That responsibility is given to the man in his image. So when Jesus comes and says to them, I give you power to tread upon snakes and scorpions, and over every works of the enemy. We're not talking about snakes and scorpions, is this scorpion in match, is this snake in kill? No. We're talking about different kinds of men. Hallelujah. Saw someone before who killed a snake and was saying, God said, I will tread upon snake and scorpion. No, that is not it. He was referring to men. Hallelujah. In the going out to preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God is carrying his task in the world today through us. What is his task in the world? We're going to see that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I showed us something this morning from John 14. He said, my father's house are many mansions, dwelling places. That word mansion, the word moneh. Moneh is the same, is the Greek word for the Hebrew word menoka. Resting places. So I go prepare a place for you. That where I am, there you will be also. Hallelujah. So God is carrying out his task through us. So in the preaching of the gospel, when a man goes ahead to preach the gospel, in the service of the Lord, when a man is committed to the service of the Lord in the local church, he is carrying out God's task in the earth. Hallelujah. Or let's put it this way. God is carrying out his task through that man. You must not see ministry as you trying to help God. No. Ministry is God working his work in the earth through you. Hallelujah. So that is why ministry is a privilege. It's a privilege. We are privileged for God to use us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in 2023, we're going to give much more to him. He will use us much more. They have lost sheep, lost souls. God will have us reach them. Hallelujah. What is God's working on the earth? 1 Timothy 2:4. Paul will say to Timothy, who will have all men? God. Who will have all men to be saved? So God's task is for all men to be saved. The heavens in all the earth. The heavens in all the earth. The heavens in all the earth. God wants to reach all men. Hallelujah. Why are you in that street? Why are you in that school? Why are you in that office? Because God wants to reach out to people in that place. Hallelujah. God wants to reach out to them. You're not the one reaching out. No, it's God. God is carrying out his task in the earth today through his children. So when I get engaged in the work of ministry, when I get engaged in the service of God in my local church, I'm yielding to God's call. Hope you're hearing me. I'm yielding to God's will. It's just in service. The same way, when I get engaged in prayer and yielding to God's Spirit. You know, prayer is service. We have that teaching, prayer is service. Prayer is service. Prayer gets engaged in the work of ministry. It is not me doing it. No. No. Ministry, I told us, ministry is God, is the office of Jesus carried out children. It's not you being saved. It's Him being saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it will be in all the earth. In all the earth. In all the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, I yield to God's Spirit. Who God's move. I yield to God's move in all the earth. I yield to God's move in all the earth. In all the earth. Hallelujah. Let's be on our feet. And then just...